this teaching of St. Paul to the church in Corinth about spiritual gifts, I want to focus on one specific text. No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I want to start with that little conundrum in order to get it out of the way, or maybe more accurately, to make sure it is right in front of us. Think about those words for just a minute. No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are at least two things that this might mean. It might mean that whoever makes this proclamation, whoever out there in the church or in the street or in the market or the mall or wherever, makes the claim that Jesus Christ is Lord, by virtue of saying it, has the support of the Holy Spirit. It might mean that. You can't say Jesus Christ is Lord without in some way having the authority of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who says those words is supported by that authority. Or, it might mean that no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord. No one should dare to make that proclamation unless they do so with the authority of the Holy Spirit. No one can say it and mean it. No one can say it and really make the difference Jesus came and lived and died for us to make unless you do so through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is no small difference. One is a kind of blanket assurance of authority. The other is a lot more restrictive. One makes every place potentially a pulpit. The other makes a pulpit a place of very great and very dangerous privilege. No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Which do you think it is? In our church, we speak often of being prophetic. Not long ago, the presiding bishop came to town and was the keynote speaker at the annual dinner of the Episcopal City Mission, an historic ministry to the poor and underprivileged in Boston. And in her remarks, she spoke of our need for, here's the quote, bold and prophetic voices. And we have here in the diocese a program for nurturing young people in relational evangelism. And I find in some of the materials describing that program a line that speaks of it as having the purpose of, here's the quote, developing the next generation of prayerful and prophetic leaders. It is surely the case that we are the inheritors of a tradition. We are the bearers of a faith that has been shaped and pushed forward through the voices and the visions of prophets. This very weekend, we set aside time to remember and celebrate maybe the most prophetic voice of our age, Martin Luther King Jr. But simply bringing him to mind begins to give us a sense of the answer to the conundrum. The fact that Dr. King spoke with such prophetic power was not merely because he invoked the idea of Jesus Christ as Lord. Dr. King's claim to the mantle of a prophet came from a deep study of the scriptures, so deep that he practically internalized the message of justice that is a uniting theme from one cover of the Bible to the other. It came from years of patient reflection on the circumstances of prejudice and discrimination in our country in ways that understood them and spoke of them not merely as political or social issues, but as spiritual challenges. It came from a profound gift for communicating that message to people far beyond the circle of his own church home, and to people of every kind of faith and community. And it came from a deep commitment to the principles of nonviolence, ideas that King had studied with deep care and to which he held fast despite pressures from both sides, from those in the movement and from those who opposed him, to take a more violent approach to the problem of changing America. We speak easily in our church today of prophetic voices. We contend that we speak prophetically on a dizzying array of issues. We speak prophetically about protecting the environment, about economic justice, about immigration reform, even about which bank people should use. We are quick to claim the mantle of prophetic pronouncement. The problem is, it is not so easy to know when we are doing this with the authority of the Holy Spirit, and when we are just pleading God's authority for our own preferred positions. I am saying that we may be just a little bit too quick from time to time in claiming to speak prophetically, because, as the example of Dr. King teaches, it is actually a very, very hard thing to do. For one thing, if we look at the evidence of the Bible, prophets always have the same answer when God calls on them to speak prophetically. Consistently, that answer is to say, in so many words, you have reached a wrong number. You must mean someone else. Richard Clifford, my Old Testament professor, used to say that the sign of a true prophet in the Hebrew tradition was not that they jumped at the chance to climb up on the ledge and speak prophetically. It was just the opposite. It was to put off the insistence of the Spirit until finally you could not do it anymore. I am not so sure that sounds like us. I am not so sure that it sounds like most people out there in the public square claiming to speak in the name of Christianity. I am always on my guard. When I hear some person being interviewed on whatever the issue of the day is, and to talk about how a given position, whatever it is, will be opposed or supported by, here's the phrase, Bible-believing Christians. I just know from the context that whoever is saying those words pretty much rules me out as a Bible-believing Christian, for the plain reason that I don't read the Bible in the same way that they do. But I am not willing to have taken away from me the claim that I believe in the truth of Holy Scripture. And I am sure that those Bible-believing Christians who hear me or anyone in our tradition speak of the Christian call to work for economic justice or the dignity of all people don't think I would regard them as Christian in that sense either. They would feel just as left out of my claim to speak for Christians as I feel left out of theirs. That claim to speaking a prophetic vision in the name of Christianity, it has become almost a staple of our media diet. And whenever I hear it, it seems to me it is almost always wrong. It is almost never a claim I think comes with the authority of the Holy Spirit. Because if we pay attention to the gospel stories, if we pay attention to the life and ministry of Jesus, what we have to contend with is that Jesus rarely comes out and takes one side or another of any issue. Yes, it is plain that Jesus takes the side of the poor and the marginalized, but it is not clear that any way we propose to recast the world, to make it more just and more inclusive, can call itself prophetic or Christian just because it claims those goals. When they came to him with the coin and asked him about paying taxes to the emperor, when they confronted him with the woman caught in adultery and demanded that he condemn her, Jesus simply didn't buy into signing up for one side or the other. Instead, the prophetic witness he offered was one that showed a different path, one that seems to say that a world of taking sides and easy solutions is a world that falls short of the hope of God. So the problem with prophecy is not that there is too much of it. The problem with prophecy is that there is far, far too little of it that actually rests on the authority of the Holy Spirit. There are many out there claiming to be prophetic simply because of what they believe passionately. But that, as it turns out, is not a very good test. So what then should we do? How are we to live out our commitments of faith in the world? First, I think it's pretty clear from the story of Scripture that the true prophetic voice is a very rare thing. It is a voice that arises from a particular set of circumstances that make for a clash between God's hopes for us and our structures of power and opportunity. It is a voice that speaks with the authority of one called to do so, not with the presumption of one who claims to do so. And it is a voice that speaks with the particular authority of a deep awareness of both God's call and the situation of those who are suffering. Second, a truly prophetic voice is not likely to be one that we find comforting. A truly prophetic voice is not likely to be one we find always agrees with us or our particular political preferences. Because when that happens, we are more likely making the move of simply wrapping up our platform in the authority of God. And that fails the first test of any prophet, which is humility. Finally, as followers of Jesus, we look to the example of his life and teaching for how a prophet really looks and sounds. One of the ways that Jesus is understood in the tradition of the Gospels is as the last prophet, the last of a long line of voices with particular authority to call us out of our rut and back into relationship with God. Now, we would probably say that we have seen other prophets since Jesus, Dr. King being just one. But the example of Jesus for us has particular authority. And when we see in that example is that it rarely speaks or acts in highly dramatic terms. Jesus' exercise of prophetic authority always makes clear that none of the ways of this world, none of the political platforms or the policy proposals or the tax codes or any of it, none of those things speak in the language of the kingdom of God. That kingdom is a very different place, where the most important thing is not your wealth or your power or your reputation or your education, but your relationship with God. It is so far removed from the way this world works that we really need to think twice before we dare to claim that our way of seeing things, our way of wanting to order things, is one that would receive the Jesus seal of approval. That does not mean that we should be paralyzed into doing nothing. The gospel message gives us no choice. We must act. We have been sent out in the name of Jesus by virtue of our baptism. But it very likely also means that the quiet witness of faithful people gets more done in the end than the loud voices. It means the ministries we do and the kindness and compassion that we show in complete obscurity are more important than the programs and the platforms that get the press releases and the news stories. No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Let us then pray that we, through our prayer and work, may be counted among those who speak those words with that authority. Amen.